John Horgan is a professor of global studies and psychology at Georgia State University, where he studies terrorist behavior. He says that based on what we know about radicalization, the notion of a terrorist spotting algorithm is, quote, doomed to failure.
The simple reason is that radicalization is such a complex process. We really haven't developed the scientific basis for the kinds of questions that people are looking to answer right now. If there's one conclusion that has emerged from about 40 years of research, is it's a story of diversity. We have lots of different people becoming involved in terrorism in lots of different kinds of ways.
You could probably say the same of those who are very bad at paying their bills or who are pedophiles, and yet there is similar software out there scouring the web for signs of creditworthiness and so forth. Is that kind of technology not applicable to a radicalization detector?
Pedophilia and terrorism are quite different. I mean, there is no clear sense of what involvement in terrorism is. Terrorism can involve everything from browsing radical sites to donating money to questionable charities to the far more extreme activity of wanting to go overseas to become a foreign fighter or constructing bombs. But the idea that we can somehow reduce all of this to something that can easily be measured, if not detected, is unusual to me.
We don't have the so-called semantic web yet, computers that actually understand language. But we do have a fairly evolved industry based on what's called sentiment analysis, which is used by companies to things as mundane as tracking their popularity of their brands online. Cannot such systems also at least begin to track radical sentiment?
It can certainly track radical sentiment, and it can possibly be used to track people who have an interest in exploring radical sentiment, but that will in no reliable way allow you to predict who is likely to become involved in terrorism. There is nothing wrong with being a radical. There's nothing wrong with holding radical views and in some cases expressing radical views, however inappropriate they might seem to you or me or anybody else. Research tells us that there are far more people who hold and who will profess radical views than will ever seek to become involved in terrorism. There are a lot of people who, for example, would classify themselves as ISIS supporters, and the beginning and the end of their involvement lies completely and exclusively online. That is all that they do. There is no desire for them to necessarily go and engage in real-world activity. And to further confuse matters, there is increasing evidence to suggest that people who become involved in terrorism don't necessarily hold radical views, at least not to begin with. In many cases, we see people's radical views developing as a result of spending time in a terrorist group.
If there is a typical terrorist, is it someone who seethes for years or decades and then finally is moved to act? Or is it more often somebody who is just particularly predisposed to violence who gloms on to some sort of radical philosophy, perhaps at the last minute, in order to make his mark on the world?
It's all of that and more, Bob. I've interviewed members of Al-Qaeda, members of the IRA in Northern Ireland. I've interviewed young kids in Pakistan. Even within specific groups, there are multiple different pathways. Some become involved because they're motivated by the excitement, the glamour, the adventure, the romanticized notion they have. Others get involved simply because they're at the wrong place at the wrong time, and a family member is involved, a friend or a group of friends, and they simply find themselves going along. There are lots of examples of individuals I've interviewed who have said, well, I didn't realize why I became involved in this movement until, for example, I wound up in prison.
What should the United States government, with or without Silicon Valley's assistance, be focusing on to identify potential terrorists online?
Basic research to answer these common questions. I think we're all sick and tired of hearing academics such as myself saying, well, look, we don't know, there's no profile, and here is the diversity, but we don't really know what to do with it. We really need to start moving beyond that to be able to give firmer answers. But in the absence of funded research that is facilitated by access to better information, we're forever going to be in the dark here. I applaud the fact that the government is exploring these public-private partnerships, but the research community seems to be absent from these discussions, and that is worrying, to say the least.
I know you would like to see actual research into the psychology of terrorism, but I wonder if there's anything in these vast data troves of Facebook and Twitter and so forth that does interest you as a scientist and you think may have some value, if not for the creation of a terrorism detector.
Oh, I think there's extraordinary value. I mean, the reason why so many would-be jihadists and in many cases simply jihadist supporters are so deeply embedded in with their online world is because it has deep psychological and cultural meaning to them. We need to understand far more about what are the specific qualities of that material. Is it for personal consumption? Do they share it? I know that most people would make a fairly plausible assumption that if you look at this material, if you spend time with it, then that somehow puts you at greater risk for becoming involved in terrorism. I don't buy that. It's an assumption. It's not something that is borne out by real life experience in many cases.
It's as if I spent my days playing Grand Theft Auto and police started targeting me because they think I'm a risk for creating mayhem and shooting civilians and police with automatic weapons.
Well, precisely, and that's a wonderful analogy. One of our researchers, Charlie Winter, discovered several senior female jihadis based in Syria complain to foreign supporters here in the United States to say to them, how dare you spend all of your time just engaging in social media? You need to get up off your backsides and come out here and join the fight. So when even ISIS themselves acknowledge that so many of their supporters begin and end their involvement online, then we know that we really need to proceed very, very carefully here if we think that we're somehow detecting terrorists.
John, many, many thanks.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
John Horgan is a professor of global studies and psychology at Georgia State University.
Coming up, the tangled, tantalizing web of free speech issues in the tug of war between the Center for Medical Progress and Planned Parenthood.
It has everything. It has a highly charged political issue. It has a righteous group of advocates who are out to right a wrong and will use any means to do that. You've got an organization that provides services. Are they culpable or are they being smeared? And what does all of this have to do with the public right to know?
This is On the Media.